Welcome to the Minneapolis Friends meeting. We gather in thanksgiving for the life of Shirley Shannon McGraw and in celebration of her life. This Quaker memorial service is a meeting for worship. For those who may be unfamiliar with Quaker worship, please know that you are invited to join in whatever ways may be comfortable and true for you. Many here will be engaged in worship throughout, some in prayer or contemplation, even as music is played and words are spoken. Following the programmed part of the service, at the end of the hymn, Swing Low, Sweet Chariot, there will be an extended time of Quaker silence. Open worship, quiet reflection, prayer, remembering. This time is one in which anyone who feels a leading to share a brief message aloud may do so. If you intend to speak, please wait a couple moments after any previous speaker. And then, when ready, please stand as able or wave a hand. Stand where you are and wait for the microphone to be brought to you. There are people here who are hard of hearing. Please do not lower your voice. While we value the spoken ministry that can come through any one of us, we also value the silence and the comfort and help that comes to us in it from the Spirit of God. Please allow some silence and rest in it. The service will close in about an hour with some final words and a handshake with those closest to you. I have known Shirley McGraw for 33 years in the context of this meeting. After their return to Minnesota, I soon enjoyed Shirley's and Dick's hospitality at their cabin and learned that their preferred style of entertaining often involved corn on the cob. Many years later, I enjoyed a piece of wild blueberry pie. I don't even like pie, but I remembered this pie and I mentioned it to Shirley. And not too much later, she brought me a jar of blueberry sauce that graced my kitchen cabinet. Over the years, visiting Quakers and American Friends Service Committee travelers and others from near and far were welcomed in the McGraw home. When I think of Shirley looking happy and excited, beaming really, radiating joy, it would be about a visit with her children or grandchildren or longtime friends who were embraced as family. The constellation of home and family was her interest, her love, her art. Shirley was a mother of the meeting in many ways, and in the 1950s established a meeting family camp, which will happen again next weekend. It's been going for over 50 years. How are the children is a question that got Shirley's primary attention. She knew how very concerned and involved with my own child I would be, and her interest in all the children extended to their adulthoods. When the meeting was doing a building renovation and addition about 20 years ago, Shirley served on the fundraising committee. She was very clear that if it came to a necessary choice between an expenditure in the interest of old people or one in the interest of children, that it was the children's need which should be met. Shirley did have some strong views. I remember her saying more than once a couple years ago, "Wars never end." Shirley did a thorough and wonderful job educating me about being hard of hearing. She gave a little class after meeting once, telling us what we could do to maximize the chances of all being able to hear. And she also wrote an article on this topic, which was published in Friends Journal, and so reached a wide audience of North American friends. We learned about reading lips, speaking up, assistive listening devices, and much more. So much more to say, but Shirley's life has spoken. God, for the blessings of Shirley's life, for the people, places, and time, for the adventures and the satisfactions, we give you thanks. For the blessing that Shirley was and is, we give you thanks. Thank you.
My name is Tom McGraw. I'm one of Shirley and Dick McGraw's four kidlets, a term of endearment that was used in our household when we were children. Shirley McGraw will be greatly missed. My mom, along with my dad, created a positive and sufficiently protective environment in which to grow up. She did a fine job of setting boundaries. Mom set the expectations, high expectations, and then provided the guidance and support for one to grow. Her parenting helped point the way to loving, stable relationships. These past few years, I think a lot about parenting. In doing so, I rely on the example of my mom, actually both my parents. The mental image of healthy parents that comes to my mind is a wall or a fence. I see in that metaphor of parents as a wall something that is solid and steadfast, yet with a little bit of give every now and then. In that same metaphor, children growing into adulthood must push against and pull on that wall. On some occasions, the youth throws themselves against the wall, yet the wall remains steadfast. Shirley McGraw was that solid and steadfast mom. Mom loved her family with all her heart and all her soul. On more than one occasion, I provided hassles, aggravations, and challenges. Nevertheless, she was there for me, unruffled. One of the mysteries of my youth was how my older siblings had not created such disturbances in their youth. I mean, it was clear from the way she spoke about Wendy, Sue, and Rick that they were good kids. Despite my doing my own boundary pushing, typical of adolescents and teenagers, my mom was always there for me, steadfast. As we grieve the loss of Shirley McGraw, the following observation was shared with me by a friend. We mourn for those we love, so our mourning is a sign of our love. We have been privileged to have had what is most precious in human life. Our mourning signifies our privilege. For those who have never loved will never mourn. Their hearts will never be broken. And so they are the most deprived people on earth. They have missed what makes life worthwhile. How blessed are those who mourn. Mom was a generous person, and this was expressed in many ways. Mom's younger sister, Pat, recently spoke of how Shirley and Dick would often generously include her on outings when they were a young married couple and she was a school girl. There were countless times when she would support my endeavors and those of others. I learned values from my mom. One of the illustrative stories she told related to one of her junior high school teachers who was a model of generosity. When Mom first encountered this teacher, looking through the eyes of an 11 or 12-year-old, she saw an individual who was dressed in worn and threadbare clothing. As Mom grew older, her understanding of this teacher expanded. She learned that the teacher helped make it possible for multiple students to attend college by helping them with their tuition. Mom saw this teacher for the generous person that she was and appreciated the depth and substance of what she made happen through personal sacrifice. Mom told the story as a way to illustrate the impact of generosity and the importance of looking beyond the surface. Mom was a very intelligent person. This past week, I received a sympathy note from a close friend's mother, the wife of a college president. She wrote of her admiration of Mom and how she was struck by Mom's incredible vocabulary. It was the same intelligence combined with love and persistence that helped Mom as she coached me through some significant reading challenges. She was a fine tutor. Mom had a great appreciation for sounds and tones. She certainly would have loved the music that we will have and have had already this morning. She very likely had perfect pitch. Along with these gifts, she had a great love of classical music. In adulthood, she began to experience hearing impairment and the associated losses. This change in her hearing deprived her of the music she loved. In later years, her more profound hearing loss and the resulting difficulty with communication caused an undesired separation from people. I don't know what lies beyond this life, but I do know that Shirley McGraw will live on in the lives of her family. I will close with The Rose Beyond the Wall, a poem about life by A.L. Frink. Near shady wall a rose once grew, budded, blossomed in God's free light, watered and fed by morning dew, shedding its sweetness day and night. As it grew and blossomed, fair and tall, slowly rising to loftier height, it came to a crevice in the wall, through which there shone a beam of light. Onward it crept with added strength, with never a thought of fear or pride. It followed the light through the crevice's length and unfolded itself on the other side. The light, the dew, the broadening view were found the same as they were before, and it lost itself in beauties new, breathing its fragrance more and more. Shall claim of death cause us to grieve and make our courage faint and fall? Nay, let us faith and hope receive. The rose still grows beyond the wall, scattering its fragrance far and wide, just as it did in days of yore, just as it did on the other side, just as it will forevermore.
As an elder in our meeting, Shirley was, she was a radiance. And we're going to greatly miss her. And for those of us that are reluctant to become elders, which I guess we are becoming, may we carry on her radiance, her kindness, her hospitality.
Wanted to say that every time I was in Shirley's presence, she was welcoming, kind, and caring, and I'll never forget that. She will definitely be missed.
Family has been to our family. But I thought I'd share with you just some little nuggets that I remember about Shirley. I remember when my kids were still little and I was taking our younger one with me to daytime meetings. We went to a community meeting at Shirley's and she was very careful to plan something to eat that would appeal to my four-year-old. Another time we were out at the cabin, my daughters and me, and we were down at the beach enjoying the sunshine and relaxing, and suddenly Shirley leaped up and chased along and leaned over and grabbed something and came back, and she had a little wild-looking rabbit. And I think I understood that this was a pet of the children that had gotten away, but I have to enlighten you on that. Another time we were over at their house, and the children were playing together in the basement, and not responding to my repeated calls that it was time to leave. And finally I went down and got them. And Shirley was very embarrassed that I had seen her messy basement. Well, it didn't look messy to me, and I was just thankful that she was human like I was. Another time, we were at family camp, and I woke up in the night with a bad migraine headache. And I lay there and lay there, and finally, about mid-morning, I dragged myself out and found that Shirley had done my morning job. She had combed and braided my little girl's long hair. Another little memory I have of Shirley is how she loved potato pancakes from the Lincoln Dell. I will miss her a lot.
I'm Phyllis Shannon Clausen. Shirley is my oldest sister. And when I was a little child, she was my second mom. She protected me. She prodded me to be better. And throughout her life, she has always, always worked to make the world a better place.
Sheila Smith, one of Shirley's nieces. My mother, Pat, is Shirley's youngest sister. So cousins and nieces and nephews have ways of their lives going different directions. I just want to say to all of you, McGraw family, what a wonderful gift you are to all of us. I so admire all of you and your tremendous family together. It's a gift to be relatives with you. We'll miss Shirley so deeply. So very sorry for your loss. Uncle Dick, our love to you.
I was fortunate that Shirley married my cousin Dick. I have things about Shirley and her growing up that I think are pretty unique in a way. She grew up in the Bemidji area, although she didn't live up there after a while. She did visit her grandparents and spent quite a bit of time up there, I think. And she has happy memories of that. That's the town where I grew up, in Bemidji, Minnesota. So we had that sort of relationship to each other. Also, there was something else I was going to say about that whole thing. It was something that we enjoyed talking about when we were together, and Shirley always was very hospitable, and we loved coming over to visit them wherever they happened to be. We did happen to live in Brooklyn, New York, when they moved to Washington, D.C., and then they moved down the coast to Virginia. So all during that period of time, we had the pleasure of being able to stop by and visit them. And apparently, they, from time to time, they also came to Brooklyn. So we enjoyed that opportunity to see the children sometimes, and although the older ones were mostly grown by that time, but we did find that Shirley was always so easy to be with and wonderful hostess. We'd come at any time, and she always had coffee or tea prepared for us. So we feel very privileged to have known her and to have been able to talk about things from way back. I have the biography of her mother that the family wrote, and I'm going to take that out and read it again now, too. So we do have lots of connections, and I was very happy always for all of those connections that we had with Shirley and Dick.
Thank you. I'm Pat Smith, Pat Shannon Smith, Shirley's youngest sister. And I was encouraged by her so much in my pursuit of my passion, music. And as she was not able to hear everything at concerts, she told me that because she knew the music well enough, she could fill in the missing parts with her own inside inner ear. And I have a one wish for her. It's a verse that I treasure. And to my listening ear, let one sweet song be given. Let music charm me most on earth and greet me first in heaven.
As a relative newcomer to meeting, I've learned a great deal from watching Dick and Shirley. And in particular, Dick, I've learned from you that we teach the most not by the lectures we may have given or the words we have published in journals, which you have both done, but we teach the most by our deeds. You have taught me what the words tender, loving, care mean, as you've cared so beautifully for Shirley. And Shirley, she rests in peace because you have prepared her so elegantly and so gracefully for doing so. You've taught me what it means for a couple to grow old, because their hearts beat together.
My parents were the same generation as Dick and Shirley. Barbara Coffin, other wonderful elders that have been in this meeting since I came here 30 years ago. And I'm really present to hearing people talk about the qualities of Shirley and Dick, of hospitality, welcoming, and steadfastness. Qualities that I also saw in my parents, and that some of my generation in our pursuit of, I don't know what, happiness, something, have stepped away from to some extent. And I invoke that spirit of that generation of Dick and Shirley and Elizabeth and George Watson and my parents, to that the steadfastness in marriage, in being members of this meeting through everything, and of being, like someone said, a way of being, of hospitable, welcoming, and kind.
Hi, I'm Ruth McGraw. I'm Dick and Shirley's niece. These are my cousins. And I just wanted to say that Shirley and Dick and all of these people are woven deep in the core of my fabric, and I feel very lucky to have them there. I think of Shirley's thread, as you probably all know, is filled with generosity and kindness, love of family, love of books. I have so many memories. I thank Shirley for being the first woman I knew to wear petal pushers to a family picnic in the 50s when everybody else was wearing skirts. I thank her for taking me into her garden at the cabin and picking the tomatoes, which she loved those tomatoes. And the corn, I don't know, I can't remember that she grew corn, but they loved their corn. It's all the same threads of things. And she just loved it. I think this is, and this is a wonderful day for her. I think that she would just be joyous at this day. I can see her at the cabin. The cabin that my uncle and aunt supplied to our family very generously and welcomed us there all the time is my go-to place in my side of my soul when I need to get peace and comfort and calm. That is the place that I go to. And I also thank Shirley for welcoming my own children and my nephew Dugan, who spoke, and just sharing the love. She was just wonderful. So I'm very lucky to have had her as an aunt. Oh, the other thing about Shirley and Dick, you know, they were Quakers, and that was a different thing from what I was. I did have Quakers in my family, but they were really Quakers. They really walked the line, and, you know, so it was so good to be a girl growing up in the 50s and having Dick and Shirley be my uncle and aunt. And of course, Wendy, Susie, Ricky, and Tommy, you are right there inside me also, and thank you. And good luck through this difficult time.
When I was a new mom, I was overwhelmed, as many new moms and dads are, and I was very weak also. Shirley gave me a gift. She said, you know, I once knew of a woman, and she was not a violent woman, but she was so frustrated at being a new mom that she just started pounding her husband on the chest. So that was just a great story for her to share with me, to say, it's okay, you'll make it through.
About 20 years ago, Shirley ministered to me, and I love this. We moved into the house that we're living in right now, and she asked me if I would like some rhubarb. So I said, sure. I had a garden. I went over to Shirley's and Dick's house, and she had the rhubarb plant ready for me. And I don't know, it seemed like she gave rhubarb to everybody. I don't know if anybody else has rhubarb, but it was such a natural thing, and it sounded like she, you know, propagated rhubarb plants to give to other people. And but I love it, because in my garden now, that rhubarb plant is so wonderful. It is so big. Every spring, it just pops right up. And I always thank Shirley for that rhubarb.
I have something that the McGraw family probably knows about. You all had a toboggan when you were growing up. And a few years back, Dick and Shirley, at a FNVW Craft Sales sold that toboggan to the Vandendolder family. And the Vandendolder family used it until their children were up and grown, and then sold it in the FNVW Craft Sale, where Ray and I bought it. And when our grandson is old and grown, it'll be in the FNVW Craft Sale again. They signed it. It's one of those things, and the story of Dick and Shirley and the Vandendolders and everybody who's owned this will live on. And you can come see it anytime.
This is another story about Shirley's hospitality. A few years back, I got to help Dick with a project at his cabin. Wonderful time. And then we had lunch. We had hot dogs. I've never had hot dogs as a feast before. Shirley made it a feast. I don't know how she did it. It was hard to talk to her. It was hard to thank her. It was hard to communicate with her at all. But she communicated to me by making the hot dog meal a feast.
Hello, I am Sally Olson, who I live in the cluster homes in Bloomington, across from the main building, right off of Normandale. Dick and Shirley were in the corner building of our unit, and very surprisingly, like somebody else has said, she picked berries close to their cabin and brought us all jelly or jam. The rhubarb was delicious, and she enjoyed coming over with her walker just to talk, and always brought about 6 cookies that she had made. We miss Dick and Shirley a lot, and I don't remember how many years they lived there, but probably about 5 or 6. So we do miss them greatly now. Thank you.
Dick, Tom White here. Darlene and I will hold you and Shirley always as two people who have made our Quaker experience as faithful as we have. We will miss Shirley at the meeting, but we'll always visualize her presence sitting right next to you. Thank you.
I'm Arnold Anderson, and Ruskin and I, my wife, My wife, Rushka, and I have been a member or been members of this meeting, I think just about the same period that Shirley and Dick have, the last 60 years. Shirley was certainly one of the pillars of our meeting for all of that time. She was tremendously important to our spiritual development, and we will always miss her loss. I had the privilege in the early 50s of being the pediatrician for the McGraw family, and I have many great memories of them, but I cannot remember anything that I contributed to their health. But I can remember two very significant things that Shirley contributed to my education. One was a significant thing for me, but the physical growth and development of boys. And the second was the tremendous value of family values. As I have followed Dick's career by virtue of being a physician for probably the last 60 years, and he's had a very, very spectacular career with a tremendous amount of controversy about him, which I don't think he probably even knew himself. And I was always amazed that they did not manifest any stress at all in our many visits, and I think that was because Shirley provided such a wonderful home, which is a great glue for the family and such a keel. But when just before Dick left Minnesota in the 60s, he had written the book Ferment in Medicine, which became a landmark book in what the changes were in medicine. I remember the Commissioner of Health of Minnesota visited me one day and told me he thought Dick was in the politics of the university, that Dick was going to win out. Well, he did, but it took 50 years before the rest of us realized his vision. About 3 years ago, or 4 years ago, I had occasion to write something about Dick, and I wrote to who I thought was probably the most significant, knowledgeable person about in American medicine, and asked him if he could write me a letter about Dick. I didn't really know if he knew Dick or anything. He was a Harvard endowed professor, and he wrote back to me that Dick was probably the outstanding singular medical education of America. And I can't help but think Shirley provided him the home and solace and all it takes to make that possible.
I just want to add to what's already been said about the longtime friendships among the seniors of this meeting. Sorry, I'm going to have trouble saying this. Those of us who were children here in the 50s, late 40s, 50s, early 60s, were raised by many parents. And many of those parents are sitting in this room. Some of them are gone and mourned, and some of them are still here. And what they have taught us is the value of consistent, devoted friendship over years and years. They raised their children together. You've already heard about how Shirley braided my hair when I had long hair. And there are countless other examples, I'm sure, I'm sure that the four McGraw kids have their own memories of the group of parents here in the meeting. And as we say goodbye to these parents one at a time, I think we need to remember the power of the friendship that they shared with each other and the things that they've gone through together during all those years. And what they have given to the next generation, collectively and individually, I think it's a very powerful, powerful example that they've left for us.
On behalf of the family, I want to invite you to stay and have refreshments, continue remembering, visiting, sharing stories. The directions I've been given for the reception are that it will be in this room, and if you exit by this door, out in the lobby, there are a couple of computers with slideshows and some photographs. And if you go left and down this hall, you can be served, and then you'll come back in this room this way. It would help that if you linger in here, not out there. Several people have asked about memorials. In keeping with Shirley's own practice and values, we're suggesting any memorials to Planned Parenthood, to the Minneapolis Friends Meeting, or to the American Friends Service Committee. Be at peace.